read, read books, books.
Well, I'll tell you, I just told Matt Tannenbaum I was out on vacation and I had to come back because I couldn't miss Matt. He's a dear friend. He's a good friend of this program, and he's with us this morning to tell us about all the great books and probably ones you've never heard of. His mission is to change that, and he comes by this. It's fascinating. I'm telling you, a couple weeks ago when we were over at Tanglewood for the first broadcast, we went over after the show. I went over after the show, and I just sat in the chair and watched Matt work. Watching him work a room is pretty incredible. So Matt Tannenbaum joins us this morning. He's from the bookstore in Lenox, Massachusetts. And good morning. How are you?
Hello, Joe.
It's good
I'm
to see you.
So glad you're back.
Well, it's good to have you here.
I like Ray.
Well, we all love Ray.
But I'm
happy to be to be back. And you got a great pile of stuff there.
I got some books for you today, and we're going to talk about.
So the articulate bookseller.
Yeah. So I want to start with a novel that I've never read a novel like this before, because the name of the book is Slipper.
Okay. As in
what you put on your foot.
Oh.
All right. Where were you going?
I was thinking ruby slipper, golden slipper, that.
Yes, and that's you were going exactly to the right place, because this is the true story of Cinderella.
Oh, okay.
And it's by Hester Vellmans, who is a Berkshire County resident, who is a writer, an editor, a translator. She's written children's books. This is her first book for grown-ups. And this is the story of a woman, a baby who was born in, I'm not going to give too much away here, just to say that a baby is born in unfortunate circumstances and it gets worse from there.
Okay.
And eventually, and this is all on the back cover.
All right.
You can read it, because they want to tell you a little bit why you want to open this.
Give you a little taste.
She eventually gets to Paris, France, and meets the guy who was the decorator for Versailles, who also, and she meets him because of where she's at that particular time. He also, later in his life, his name is Charles Perrault, and he writes fairy tales. And she tells him her story, which is this story that Hester has made up, the true story of Cinderella.
I see.
And Charles Perrault makes it into the fairy tale that we now know. But why the book is so different from any other book I've ever read is because I've never read, this is true confession time, I've never read the Brontes. I've never read Jane Austen. I faked my way into this job. So there's a blurb on the book by another local writer, Danny Klein, you know Danny.
Yeah.
And he says, it's as if this book is a revelation. It's as if someone had stumbled into the British Museum and found a 19th century manuscript, handwritten, and it's by the fourth Bronte. And she's better than all the rest of them. This book is so much fun. This book is, there is, you don't talk about a fourth wall in books so much, but the author, every once in a while, I guess you do in Austin and the Bronte. Dear reader, look, you know what's going to happen next? I couldn't put the book down. I wanted to know what was going to happen next.
Yeah.
And Hester is a lovely novel. It's a historical novel. There's other stuff in Europe that I had no idea about. And she weaves real history into this fictional character. And it's a lovely book. Hester and I will be in conversation at the Mount in October. Check the website for my website and the Mount's website. October 11th, I think. I'm not sure the time yet.
October 11th, and it's bookstoreinlenox.com to find out more information. Okay.
That's the Slipper by Hester Vellmans.
Next.
Where do we want to go? We want to stay with fiction.
Sure.
I want to go to Machado de Assis. Do we know anything about this guy? Do you know anything about him?
I don't.
Okay. One of the first novels I...
I know it was going to be a quiz.
Why did my computer just die here? Oh, fine. Okay. So it's all my memory then. Machado de Assis wrote a book. He lived in the late 19th, early 20th century. He is the father of magical realism. He is where Allende comes and where Garcia Marquez, they pay homage to him. He was the guy. And he was this Brazilian writer who was, of course, not well translated into English. We didn't have a lot of contact with him. I remember reading, Farrar Straus published his novel Epitaph for a Small Winner, which I read, which was just sardonic, which was like this, not a Schlemiel kind of a guy, but a guy who is a small winner, you know, and it just, he's a fun writer. And this, Liverite, the publisher, has put out, what I have here is just a sample. They sent me a blend.
Because
the book is 600-800 pages or something like this.
Oh, I see.
And it's collected, it's his collected short stories, Machado de Assis.
The collected stories of Machado de Assis, translated by two people, Margaret Joel Costa.
Right, and I don't know.
Robin Patterson.
Yeah. There's a great new book on translation that I wanted to read this summer, and I didn't get around to it. But translation is...
Well, that's an art.
It's an art. And, you know, even in writing in one's native language and publishing, one translates... We had a talk about this at a gallery a couple of days ago. One translates the perception of the world into words or painting or music, whatever it is. You translate that experience. Machado de Assis. Staying in South America, Fruit of the Drunken Tree by Ingrid Rojas Contreras. A brand new, first novel by published by Doubleday Books. And here's a shout out to the editor of Ingrid's book, Margot Schickmanter, who was once my night clerk at the bookstore and has now gone on to work to become an editor, not a senior editor yet, at Doubleday, and this is her first book.
So she would sit there, she would toil in that bookstore, and now has gone off to...
And it's such a pleasure to see Margot when I go to New York to those book fairs, and she's this on the other side now. She's not a bookseller,
right.
You know. And she sent me this. The advanced copy on this is, you know, this is the one you got to read.
It's Ingrid Rojas Contreras, and the book is Fruit of the Drunken Tree. It just came out.
It just came out July 31, and it's the story. It's the story of a family in Colombia during the Escobar drug war times.
And again, you mentioned this a moment ago regarding another book, but in the vein of Allende and Gabriel Garcia Marquez.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
It's and I had some notes and my computer died, but
well, that's okay.
The two characters are one is the young girl who has no idea who's the bad guy, who's the good guy. There's killings. It's a horrendous story, but so well told. And the other character is the maid of in the family who comes from a different part of town, and she doesn't really know. The young girl doesn't really know and learns about this other woman's life.
Okay.
Magical writing. Terrific writing.
It is, again, the name of the book is Fruit of the Drunken Tree.
The Drunken Tree.
Okay.
Let's switch over to nonfiction. We have some time.
Yeah, we're good. We have about 5 minutes. So.
Okay. Graham Robb, whom I don't know at all, but I know he's a biographer and historian. He, an Englishman and a critic, French critic, writing in criticism of French writers, moved to this place on the Scottish-English border a couple of years ago and found out, or knew about, because he was born somewhere near there, that this debate, the book is called The Debatable Land, The Lost World Between Scotland and England. And he discovers that, you know, borders, much like T.H. White discovered or tried to write about in The Once and Future King, when he has Arthur as the boy flying over, you know, Merlin teaches him how to fly over the land and discover that there are no borders. And this was a great anti-war book. This kid is written in the 30s, but I digress. Graham Robb writes about this land where he goes and he sees. Oh, I wish I had my notes. These are. Come into the bookstore. I'll tell you more about it.
You'll hold forth.
I'll hold forth. And I do want to say that the Graham Robb book and the Machado de Assis book came to me from the publisher, the publisher's rep, Norton, who is a great publisher. And I trust these. I'll look at those books because I know the publisher. They have a great reputation. And I came across these books because they put them in my hand, just the way I want to put them in your hand.
That's right. With hand selling.
That's it.
All right.
The next guy I want to talk about is Steven Weinberg.
Okay.
Steven Weinberg. The guy came in the store a couple of years ago, and I noticed he and his wife were kind of chuckling down at the far end of the store. And he walked up to the front of the store, and he said, this older guy, and he says, you have a lot of nice science books here, but I never see any of mine. And I said, well, I'm so sorry. What are your books? And before he could answer, his wife stepped forward and said, he won the Nobel Prize.
Oh.
So this is Steven Weinberg, winner of the 1979 Nobel Prize in Physics. And now he comes to visit, because he has family in the area, he comes to visit from Texas. And he's just a lovely, lovely guy. And this is his newest book, his latest book. He says he's in his, he's pushing numbers that are, I can't even count that high. But he writes a new book every couple of years, and he hopes this is not his last. This is called Third Thoughts. And these are essays mostly on physics. And physics is big this summer. We've sold so many books on physics, besides our own Louisa Gilder's books on physics, mm-hmm. The woman who works there at the bookstore.
Do we know why that's the case, of why people are interested in physics now?
I think, what would you say? Is the world is so unsettled, you want to have ground to walk on?
Right. And while there seems to be in many quarters a dismissal of science, that we feel that we must embrace it in some way.
Yeah, but the physics of everyday things is a title that I know we sold well. We're selling a lot of books on astronomy. Mm. Alan Lightman's book,
sure.
on deGrasse Tyson's book.
Yeah, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
And so so Steven Weinberg is published by Harvard University Press. Most of these essays have appeared elsewhere. Most of them have appeared in the New York Review of Books.
He won the Nobel Prize in Physics for his theory unifying two forces of nature, laying the foundation for the standard model of subatomic physics. I feel really dumb, but okay, cool. That's very neat.
That's Steven Weinberg.
All right.
And it was a pleasure to have the book in the store this summer when he popped in.
Good.
Unexpectedly, and we had
let
it this
you down.
Time.
Oh, good. You let him down, rather. All right.
The next one is our old friend Donald Hall.
Yes.
Who just died, a few weeks ago.
Yes.
But this is his last book published in his lifetime. Who knows what they're going to find in his desk drawers. This is called A Carnival of Losses, Notes Nearing 90, published by Houghton Mifflin, his longtime publisher. And the first essay, called On Getting Old, is so much fun. You are old when the waiter doesn't mention you are holding the menu upside down. You are old when an essay of reminiscence takes 84 drafts. You are old when mashed potatoes are difficult to chew. In the 80s, you are invisible. Nearing 90, you hope nobody sees you.
Mm.
At 19, you were 6'2". At 91, you will be 2'6".
Yeah.
Donald Hall had a way with words. So these are reminiscences, critiques of poets. He mentions Alan Tate, who is one of my favorite writers. And he says, I only met Alan Tate once, and he was grumpy.
What a grumpy Alan Tate around. And then finally.
And finally, The Overstory, Richard Powers. We talked about this book. I brought this book back in the spring when it first came out. Same sales rep from W.W. Norton, by the way, wink, wink. Good for her for bringing me this signed copy of Richard Powers' book, The Overstory. And when I came on then, I had just started reading it. I was maybe a quarter of the way into it.
It's beautiful.
And it's There are books like Slipper, the Hester Vellman's, that I'll just keep reading. This book, I felt like I was a snake eating like a varmint and then, you know, slowly digesting it. I had to, you know, take a couple of chapters or one full chapter and then not get back to it for a day while I digested what I had just read.
What a vivid descriptor, Matt.
Came up with that one all by myself, I want to tell
you. That's very good. Yeah. I like it. So we're a little bit late here, but real quick, tell me about Judith Shaw coming to the store this Friday.
Judith Shaw is a Berkshire writer, and she's written a book called Charlie's Horse. It's a young adult novel, girl coming of age. Charlie loves horses. 5:30 on Friday evening, August 17th.
Charlie's Horse, and you can find out more by going to the bookstore in Lenox. It's bookstoreinlenox.com, bookstoreinlenox.com. Jamie Bernstein was there. Charlie Harmon was there about their memoirs of Leonard Bernstein.
We still have signed copies, some signed copies of those books.
There you go.
If you're inclined.
All service bookstore.
Thank you, Joe.
And again, you got to see this guy in action. It's really quite something. Just sit up there and just watch. It's better than anything you'll see in the Berkshires this summer. For more information on the bookstore in Lenox, you can visit them. It's at 11 Housatonic Street. You can also visit them online. You were like working on finding like rides for people. You were, it was all very, a lot going on there. Bookstoreinlenox.com. Matt, always a pleasure.
Thanks, Joe. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Again, you can see the whole list and also find out more by going to our website, wamc.org/roundtable. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.